Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza-Hillman once again with the Approaching the Natural podcast. Thank you, as always, for joining me. And if you're joining me for the first time, glad you're here. You'll get a sense of what goes on here every week. I discuss my philosophy of health and happiness and my approach to that philosophy. I think that we are a natural being in a very unnatural world, and I am dedicated to helping people negotiate that unnatural world a little bit better through small steps. I think that we are designed to be healthy and happy. It is a part of our natural wiring, our natural design, and my approach and words each week here and in my blog on my website are dedicated to helping you guys figure out how to do that. And myself too. I'm in the mix with you. That's an important point I try to stress every week. I'm not up here on something, you know, pedestal going, hey, you know, do what I do, follow me. It's not about that. It's about all of us on this earth, basically as a species that is kind of wandering around acting like we know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. And that's kind of speaking a little bit to what I want to get to in this podcast, but not yet. God, you guys are so impatient. A couple things that I just want to get out of the way. It was sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. I head up their wellness center, the Mendocino Center for Living Well. So stanfordinn.com or livingwellmendocino.com. Three retreats coming up. One is a vegan cooking, plant-based cooking retreat, September 15th through the 19th. A gardening one that has cooking and all these, by the way, have nutrition classes with me, and not even just nutrition, but healthy living kind of stuff. September 26th to the 29th, and then one that I'm really heading up that also has cooking, by the way, but called Transitioning to Health in October 20th through the 23rd. You spend a lot of time with me and really get a jump start on all that kind of stuff. It's fun. You're staying in a cool place, really beautiful place, farm, pool, the whole shebang, but also hanging with me. How bad can that be? It's not bad at all. What it is. You can find me at SidGarzaHillman.com. I am a certified nutritionist and health coach. I take a very small amount of clients, but clients I do take. So if you're interested in going a little deeper, well, not a little, but a lot deeper, and working with me one-on-one for a minimum of a month, that's my minimum, everybody. I'm not going to sit down and do a nutritionist thing with you and give you a plan. That ain't going to happen. So if you want that, don't go to me. But if you want that plus working with me for a month to implement things like nutrition, but also movement and mindfulness and art and creativity and all these kinds of beautiful things that we can add into our lives, then shoot me an email or listen to this podcast or read my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. Okay, there you go. There's a sell. Boom. SidGarzaHillman.com. Put your email in there and you get a free chapter of my book. All you need to know about nutrition. Seriously, literally, all you need to know. One chapter. Crazy, right? Yeah. All the social media things like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Sid Garza-Hillman as well. So just throw me into Google there and Google the guy at Google, the one guy that works there will shoot you, push you in the right direction. And I also have t-shirts for sale through the website too. Just got another order. Very exciting. Hope people are digging those that are wearing them. If you're not, you're not cool. Sorry. No, you are. You're cool. With or without the shirt. The shirt just tells other people that you're cool. That's the difference. Okay, so last week I announced that I had not booked my next Spreecast, but I did today. It's free, okay? If you don't know what a Spreecast is, you go to Spreecast.com and you'll find out, but it's a live video format. So on September 13th at 11 a.m. Pacific in the United States, but anywhere in the world, go to Spreecast.com, Sid Garza-Hillman, look up that, you'll see my next one. September 13th, 11 a.m., you log in for free. How many times do I have to tell you that? And you can post questions, and I put them up for everyone to see. and I answer them, hopefully, the best I can. And that's September 13th, 11 a.m. Okay, guys? All right, go to my YouTube channel, Sid Garza Hillman, there too. Woo, gosh, this is boring the heck out of me. Okay, I just got back from Lake Tahoe today, so I apologize. Last week, I was like, okay, I had the blackout on the whole coast, went black internet-wise, so I was late on the podcast. I really intended to get back to the Monday night posting where it comes out Tuesday morning kind of thing, but my parents booked this kind of yearly trip that they do, and we went out there, and I brought my podcast case. I was so like, okay, just couldn't get it going. Couldn't get it going. House full of people. I was like, you know what? Just not feeling it. Not feeling going upstairs and busting out a podcast with a house full of people and kids and everything else. And I just wasn't in the mode. So I'm gonna try. I'm gonna small step back into getting in the routine. What do you think about that? Single malt. That's what I'm talking about. If you're just joining me, for now, just think it's a single malted barley. That's what I mean by single malt. Later down the line, after a few podcasts, it'll be revealed to you that it's a single malt scotch. But for now, you don't even need to know that. Single malt, single malted barley, whole grain, it's excellent for you. It's fantastic. That's what I'm drinking. Drinking a glass full of barley grains. Okay. What else? So that was my Lake Tahoe thing. Oh, so in the journaling thing that I've been talking about, right? On occasion, because I'm human, I go and I've been doing this. Is my 47th episode. I mean, I'm approaching 50, not in age, because I'm 46. So I guess I'm kind of approaching 50. I'm 46 in December, everybody. But approaching 50 episodes, kind of crazy. So I'm kind of planning my 50th episode. I think I'm gonna do a best of. And so it'll just be like best of clips, and it'll sound something like this. Small step, small step, small step, small step, small step, small approaching philosophy, small step, small health, happiness. Boom, that's it. You kind of heard it. It'll just be the worst episode you've heard. You'll just be like, God, he waited to 50 to just go all the way down. And now we're gonna go listen to somebody that tells us to count protein grams. Okay. And anywho, so I'm going on to 50, which is kind of exciting, but it's a long time. But you know, I've been talking about a lot of stuff along the way, especially for people who have been with me since the beginning, which there's actually a fair amount or people that joined along the way, but started at one. I got an amazing email today from a guy who has been listening to since, you know, episode one, and he put this stuff into action and it worked. Something major with his life that he had been trying to beat for his whole life. And he's small, a little skeptical, small stepped it. And guess what happened? Boom. Year later, he's still doing it, doing the thing he changed in his life. Okay. But as I go forward and I'm, you know, this is almost a year as I'm doing this a weekly, right? And on occasion I go, I see it work with my clients, but it's a long-term process, right? This isn't a 21-day thing. It's not a 7-day thing. It's not even a 3-month thing. And so sometimes the results that I get, that people get by working with me or listening to this podcast, don't come immediately. That's why I got to come here every week, because otherwise it's just, if I don't come here every week, you're out of here, because this is not sexy. Like, you just go, yeah, that sounds great. That's another thing. I'm going to go over this book because it's flashy. It has pretty colors on it. It has a picture of a six-pack stomach. So I'm just going to go to that because Sid didn't remind me every week not to go to that. So I got to come every week to remind you of that. But it's long-term. You know, I got this email from this guy, but these are like trickly. But people are starting. He's been listening since day one. So it's a year. Okay? All right. I don't get the flashy before-after shots after 3 weeks. I don't get it. I don't want it. Anything like that. Don't want it, everybody, because there's this little thing about me. I actually want something that's going to work. It's just a little thing. So it's like a little anomaly about me. Okay? A little quirk. I actually like things to actually work long term. Makes me crazy. Okay. Anyway, in going forward, I kind of started thinking about, I have moments where I go, should I tweak this? Is this kind of where it's at? How should I kind of reframe it? Do I eat? And so I decided to just begin this process of journaling, of introducing journaling into my life. bringing it in a way that is long lasting. And so I took myself through the process. I have done that over the years. Living the example, I've done an entire episode on that. It is first and foremost in my practice, this podcast and this book. Me living the example, being the example, not of perfection, but of somebody who is working through this process just like you are. I am achieving success. I am about as healthy and happy as I want to be. There is more room for me to grow in that regard. But the process of doing this in my life is exactly the process of how I'm of what I'm communicating to you. I am not sitting here as a hypocrite, or somebody who hasn't tried the things that I'm espousing. I have both. Okay. If you think I'm a hypocrite, I've said this before. If you think I'm not the example of who you want to be, or somebody who is doing what you value or want to, don't listen to me. I don't need followers. I need people who are going to hopefully take what I'm sharing with you and use it, hire me to work with you or not. It's here. This is what I'm doing. You don't have to hire me. I'm just saying, listen to my podcast every week. If you want to go deeper, fine. That's what I need. I don't need you to follow me. This podcast, my book, and my private practice are dedicated to helping you think about your life in a way that's going to make the changes in your life, whatever those changes are that you want to be. I may change things in my life that have nothing to do with the changes you want to make in your life, but the process that we both embark upon is exactly the same. That process is exactly the same. And that's what I try to get across. It's not about the particulars. It's about the way we enter this unnatural world. It's about how you wake up in the morning and walk into the world. That is similar species-wide. And I was actually thinking about today, interestingly to me, I early on as a nutritionist, one of the things I started to realize was that there's so much crap, you know, to speak scientifically, about nutrition and around nutrition, most of it ad campaign or, you know, selling things that, you know, people telling you what you want to hear. And it's sexy and they go out and they sell the things. I mean, millions and millions of copies of things like Atkins diet, because it's massive, you know, massive. It's an empire. Paleo is becoming that thing now. I mean, it's just like everybody's flocking to that because it's just like, this is amazing. It's giving me license, right? Because people want to feel good. And so they want to feel good about maybe what they're already doing that they may be conflicted about. But then somebody comes along and says, you feel conflicted about having half and half in your coffee. It's the best thing for you. They don't actually say that. They'll say it helps you lose weight. And it may short term at the expense of your health. So I also want to be very clear about where I come from on that, is that this is health and happiness, guys. Okay, this isn't weight loss. I ain't talking about weight loss. I'm talking about health and happiness. You can lose weight a ton of ways. There's a ton of different ways you can lose weight. There ain't many ways that you can sustain healthy weight for the rest of your life. In fact, I don't think there's any ways except for one way. Does that make me, I'm not, okay, what, don't agree with me. Okay, I think there's one way for you to sustain health and happiness, and that is by two things. One way, but two things. One is recognize our natural design and what it dictates us, what we need to be fed given our physical design, and also what we need to be fed given our mental design, and adding those in small steps over time. That's it. How small is up to you. You may be ready for a huge step because you're motivated by whatever is in your life, so your small step's going to be completely different from the guy next to you, or girl or guy. Everyone's small stepping. It spans all of the different sexes. Anywho, I don't even know why. Why'd you get me started on that? Why did you get me started on that? I don't even know. I know why. So I began the process of the whole journaling thing with me. It was to first and foremost, because I wanted to get journaling back in my own life for personal, you know, reasons, just kind of why I enjoyed journaling years ago. But secondly, because I wanted to test the waters again, because I wanted to reaffirm in my own brain, maybe it's because of insecurity or whatever, that this works, right? And I struggled with it. And the first month, I've told you guys, I took on too much. I took on something I thought was the smallest step ever, which was 10 minutes a day. And I've journaled before. So 10 minutes to me was like, well, that's a fraction of what I used to journal. So to me, in my brain, I'm going, that's a perfect small step. But it was too much. That small step was too much. So this is, I'm going to keep coming back here every month because we're going to get, every week, because we're going to continually, I'm going to get into kind of the nuts and bolts of this process, which I already have, and I'm just continuing this, okay? So I'm going 10 minutes, easy, no sweat, 10 minutes. It's nothing. I used to journal for an hour every day. I'd go in my studio before I used to write songs. I journal half hour minimum, no problem, okay? Now, my life was a lot different back then, okay? I was a full-time actor. I made a living as an actor. That is not a huge time commitment. So a lot of my other time was spent in the studio as a I was also heading up a band and doing most of my work in that. And so my life then was more attuned to things like journaling and creative things like that. It doesn't take as much space up in my life today, given my organization today and the fact that I have three kids and my wife and I both work full time and everything else. Life changes. So do you expect a predetermined amount of any step based on what you used to do is not necessarily relevant or useful at all. But at the same time, it's a place to start, okay? So I'm going 10 minutes. I mean, the thought was in the right place, which is that I'm going to start small. I just didn't properly gauge what small was. In terms of what's workable for me, 10 minutes seemed small, seemed workable. If you had asked me at the moment I started, 10 minutes is not, I can carve out 10 minutes. Obviously, I couldn't. Did I fail because I couldn't do 10 minutes? No. 10 minutes is random. 10 minutes is random, just like my 4-hour marathon. It's what we make up. How we react to not meeting that goal is part of the whole picture. Because I could beat myself up about doing a 4:08 marathon, my first marathon, or I could go, yeah, okay. I mean, I tried. I also finished a marathon, trained and finished a marathon. Okay. Went a little slower the next time. Okay. Learned a lot. You want to use a watch next time, little things like that. Probably overtrained, things like that. So who knows? But because I couldn't do 10 minutes, is that some sort of objective failure? No. Here's the fact, everybody. Even failure is constructed by us. Here's a fact. I set my step at 10 minutes. I didn't do 10 minutes a day. That's the fact. How I feel about that's totally different. That's another thing. The fact is I set my step at 10 minutes a day. The other fact is that I was not able to continue doing 10 minutes a day. I think I did it one time that first month. Okay. So what I did was, because this is part of the process, I hope you understand this as I'm teaching you, to then lower the step, even lower. And I went all the way down. I was like, okay, if this is what it's going to take, then I'm going to go all the way down to one sentence. Even I had a trouble with that. I found myself 2-3 days later. Why? Because I'm busy, because of all the reasons I just said. So then I put the journal in my pocket, and you know the rest. If you don't know the rest, go back and listen. But since then, it's been 3 months. Now I'm journaling every day, no problem. Until first night of the Lake Tahoe, I'm at Lake Tahoe, and I just we got there. It was a 7-hour drive, and we're unloading our bags and everything, and we kind of hang out. We go to bed. Next morning, I wake up and I go, I'll be damned! Look at that! I didn't journal the first night in like a couple months, right? Mm. Very interesting. Routine gets broken. Now this happens a lot with my clients, where we get into kind of a good thing while I'm working with them, and I'm always wary of that, right? Because I go, I don't want them to rely on me. So I'm like constantly going, okay, this is good, but let's make sure these steps are right for you. How do you go forward after you're done working with me? And sometimes they go traveling, and traveling is, I'm sure this has happened to most people listening to this, but like, let's say you're running every day and you're like, man, it's awesome. Then you go on a trip for 3 days, and that's just enough to break the habits and the routines. Then you come back, and all of a sudden, 3 months later, you're like, holy crap, where'd that go? I used to run every day, and then I went on this trip to Omaha. Boom, I'm not running anymore. It breaks the thing. So I had my journal with me. I had the little pocket journal with me, and it was after the next morning. I went, I'll be darned, look at that. Now, remember your MOTT, your most of the time. There was a moment, I'll be real honest with you guys, there was a moment where I was like, heard the messages of getting down on myself, of like, oh, I missed a night. This is the way, this is my upbringing. This is what you realize, okay? All those little chattering things aren't you. They're not you. You are who you say you are today, the things you value today. That task I always talk about, write who you are in first person, even if you aren't technically that person yet, or you think you're not. If you're heavy and you write, I'm a thin person, it's because you value being thin. You value feeling good about your body. That's a value. That means that's what you're defined by. You're defined by the things that are important to you. Whether you manifest those things yet, who cares? Not even a subject. Then you take the small steps to get closer to that person that you already are. That's how this works. Now, I hear the messages of, oh, I missed a night because I'm the guy who 3 years ago had to follow my training plan and rupture my Achilles tendon, even though I was fatigued and exhausted, but had to do the thing on the training plan, the interval training. Okay, I talk about it in my book. Okay, that was me. That was me in terms of who I have been, in terms of the things that I have done, but not who I want to be. And not who I value, not something I value. I don't value militancy. I don't value that level of restriction. I value making choices that are best for me, that are in line with my values. Now, somebody might look at that and say, well, I'm plant-based. I'll tell you right now, not all my clients are plant-based. I'm not telling anybody to be plant-based. I'm just saying I'm whole plant-based most of the time, because that makes me feel really good. I do understand as a nutritionist that whole plants are where it's at in all regards, protein included. Okay. But you don't have to be plant-based. I'm just saying where I am, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been reading about nutrition for 20 years. Okay. But that's not restrictive to me. That's a choice because I've gotten to the place where food is one of the things that makes me feel good. But I don't eat food at the expense of me feeling good. Okay. That's just, again, that's where I'm at. Okay. If food is a place in your life where you're eating foods that don't make you feel good, but you love those foods so much that you don't mind not feeling good, fine. There's literally no judgment from me. I just don't want to have asthma anymore. Okay. I don't want to have bad allergies. I like running, for instance. Okay. If somebody said, Sid, to eat the food you want to eat, you know, Numinos and bread, you can never run again. I'd be like, well, I don't really want Numinos and bread. Like, there's other things in my life I want to do. I want to be able to run around with my kids. Sorry. If I got to give up Numinos and bread for the rest of my life, there's no conflict for me. There's no conflict for me. And, you know, so that's where that is. So anyway, long story short, whew, I'm windy today. Am I just crazy? I'm just talking up a storm. Interestingly, I'm talking up a storm on a podcast. Usually, I just sit here in silence, in case you're just wondering. You just hear me sip my single malt every now and then and talk about taffeta. Okay, so anyway, I took a pause. So I heard that messaging, and I was like, oh, you know, that whole thing. But then I thought to myself, who am I? Who am I? Who do I want to be? Do I want to be a guy who's going to sweat one freaking night after 2 months? Or even 3 nights after 2 months. I mean, really, what am I getting to? I'm getting to the point, which is that journaling brings me value. It brings me balance. It brings me a moment, sometimes a very short moment, of balance in my life. It brings me a time, just like running, where I can be with my own thoughts and kind of put things on paper with intention and to look at things that are going on. And it has helped me. That's what it's about. It's not about making it every night or being beholden to some routine. It's just not. I might feel down on myself, but I checked it. I was like, okay, well, that's not me. I literally said, that's not me. I still felt the thing of like, oh, that pressure of like, I missed a night. I felt all those things. I didn't act on them. I just journaled the next night. Okay. Does it feel a little weird? Yes. So what? Who do you want to be? I mean, that's it. Right? Right? I'm not asking. That's a rhetorical right. Whenever I say right, I don't expect an answer except for you. No, not you. You in the yellow dress. Yeah, you. Right? Thank you. Okay. By the way, you should not wear a yellow dress to a fine dining restaurant. I'm sorry. Whew. It's black. That's that particular restaurant you're in. That's why you're feeling uncomfortable, because you're the only person in a color besides black. So, whew, bad move. Okay. So I wanted to read a quote. I have two quotes to read today. Okay. I don't do quotes a lot, but I have two today. The first one is from well, not from my wife, but she's the one who said, you know, this might be a good quote for you to read in your podcast that I don't listen to. Thank God. Whew. Couple references to her over the time that I, hopefully she'll never get up to those episodes. This first one is from the book called Winter's Tale by Mark Helprin. Okay, I'm going to give him props. And here's the quote. And I just thought this is super cool because this kind of does encapsulate what I'm going for here in some fashion. Here we go. Quote, "They were as attentive to nature as they would have been had they grown up on a farm or in the mountains. It is true," he said, "that they live in a machine, the city itself. But if the machine can emerge from nature, then surely nature can emerge from the machine." End quote. I'll say that again one more time. But if not the whole quote, "but if the machine can emerge from nature, then surely nature can emerge from the machine." And I just love that quote, because essentially what I'm talking about is that we can live in the modern world. We can live in the modern world better than the way that we're living currently. We can live as if we were raised in nature, because essentially we were. We were all raised in nature because our evolution hasn't really changed. Our body makeup has not changed virtually at all from when we were living in nature. We are essentially raised in nature, our very wiring. And in the context of the modern world, we can achieve greater natural living. I'll just put it that way. We can live more naturally in the modern world by recognizing our natural selves in the context of that world. And nature can emerge from that machine. And I don't care what city you live in, the most city in the world, Mexico City, New York City, Chicago, I mean, cities, okay? Munich, okay. I can go on forever, right? I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm sorry if I made you mad in New Zealand. Okay, I don't even know if you guys have city. No, I know, I'm joking. Okay. Nature can emerge from the machine. There are still, to today anyway, remnants of nature even in the most cities of cities. Trees, parks, things that you can get attached to the earth even in small ways. And most of these cities, you can get access to some sort of natural or, you know, mostly natural foods. You can take a breath of air. It may not be the cleanest air, but you can take a deep breath. Okay? You can move your bodies. You can take a glass of water. You can draw a picture. You can make up a game. You can play a game. You can connect with a member of your tribe who may not live in that city, but you can do that via phone or email or Skype or whatever. There are ways for us to be part of what is natural still in the context of a world that is, yes, becoming more unnatural, but we being the club of small steppers that you're a member of, I told you last week, okay? If you don't know it's a small handshake. The small stepper club has a small handshake, just so you know. We can do that. So I just thought that was kind of cool, right? Okay. Next up. Ready? Okay. Last week, I talked about what we've always done versus what we've always been. Okay? Because we've always done that. You know, paleo diet, Atkins, we've always done that versus what we've always been. And I go back last week, because I'm not going to revisit that this week, but I am going to talk about thinking positive versus doing positive. Okay. I'll put it, early on, I was dabbling in the kind of like visualization, thinking positive. And one of the episodes, I think it was 17, I talked to Jeff Stanford about meditation and sort of his take on positive thinking, which I think was really, really good. And you should go back and listen to that one too. His thing of positive thinking wasn't like, you know, I can do this. It was more like visualizing yourself actually doing something. And that's great. Okay. Like he was talking about downhill skier, like before they actually hit the run, they're like visualizing themselves on the run. And that's great. And I think it's valuable. I'll put it that way. It's not like, I'm not like the condescending. Well, that's great. But what I'm talking about here is that I've actually worked with clients who in early on, especially I was like, you know, maybe, you know, visualize yourself being thin or visualize. And I gotta tell you, like, I just, ever since I started, you know, wrote my book and kind of came to my current approach, I'm not into positive thinking. I think it expends energy the way that negative thinking does. I think that it's almost two sides of the same coin. I got to be honest with you. I think that some people, if you have been unhealthy your whole life and maybe heavy your whole life, maybe you can't imagine what it's like to be thin. I mean, how could you? I mean, I guess you could sort of form a basic concept of you as a thin person, but I kind of go, why would you battle through that? Why would you wage that war of just a mental strain of trying to Photoshop in your brain you as a thin person? Why would you? I don't think it's magic. I don't think doing that is going to yield you anything. Okay? Positive thing. I spit on positive thinking. I've spit on whey protein. I spit on olive oil. I'm just spitting on everything. Okay. That's the health coach I have become. Okay. Through this podcast, you all have witnessed a guy who was probably fairly responsible who now just spits on things. Okay. You've seen in 47 episodes me becoming person. I spit on that. Okay. I do what works. Me spitting on stuff works. It works. Somebody gave away protein because I spit on it. I got a tweet. She goes, he said it was junk. I don't think she actually said I spit on it, but I know deep down she did that because I spit on it. She's like, oh my God, he spit on that. I'm totally not doing that. Okay. I spit on positive thinking. I spit on it. You may not be able to imagine yourself as healthy. You may not be able to imagine yourself as thin. Okay. Who cares? I mean, visualizing yourself being thin won't get you thin. Okay? But here's what you can do. You can do something positive. If you can't imagine yourself being thin, how about this? Don't worry about it now. Don't even try to imagine yourself thin. How about this? Understand that there are things that you can do in your life that can help you live better in the modern world. Okay? Being thin, down the line, whoop-de-doo, eventually you'll get there. It does feel great. I like being thin. Sorry, I'm not going to, you know, I like being, but I don't just like being thin. I actually like just being healthy, okay? And because that's a natural state. I believe that that's a natural state for each of us, every human being on the earth. Sorry, there's no just huge differences between people. Well, that's just him and that's just me. Everyone's different, okay? 99.8 to 99.9% genetic similarity. Boom. We are all one species. We are all brothers and sisters. Sorry, we're just all one big family, and it's a big, huge family dinner, kind of a nightmare. Okay? Got Uncle Albert. He's always a pain in the ass. He brought the wrong wine. You're related to him. Okay? He's my uncle, your uncle. He's everybody's uncle. Okay? All right. We can do something that is in line with our natural design, mentally and physically, that will eventually possibly yield us a thin body. I don't know. Don't know. I want you to try this on. Who cares? What? Sid, we are listening to you because deep down we understand the small step, but we're kind of on some level wondering if this is going to get us to lose weight. Again, who do you want to be? Because if you're feeling that drive of like, even though you're listening to me and you like get what I'm talking about and you're but then at the end of the day you're just like, oh man, but I want to lose weight so bad. Just look at that and go, yeah, it's probably how I was raised or media creeping in my brain and telling me that weight loss is the end all be all. And I'm looking at the stars on the cover of People magazine who've been photoshopped till the cows come home. But so that's the messaging. I get that. Okay, that's just not, it's not who I am. I value health and happiness, and I know that one of the side effects of health is a flat stomach. But this is fine. This is fine. But I want to be healthy. I want to feel good in my life. The overarching thing is I want to feel really good in my life. That means partly is being feeling good in my body and mentally feeling good. So you can do the positive things to that end. You can drink a glass of water. Okay? Again, visualizing yourself being thin won't get you thin, but drinking a glass of water will. But Sid, that's insane. Calorie counting is the only way that you can get thin. A glass of water is not going to get you thin. A glass of water is not going to get you thin today. Okay? Glass of water in the morning, not going to get you thin today. This is me reiterating how not sexy this podcast is, despite my awesome voice. Okay? It's not. Okay? It's not that sexy. Why? Because a glass of water isn't going to get you thin tomorrow. Here's what a glass of water is going to get you. And I want to put this out there too. Maybe you'll never be thin. Maybe you will never be thin. You might never be thin. If that's you wish you were thin, I'm here to tell you, you may never be thin. You want to know why? Two possibilities. One, you're going to go to diets to be thin. They don't work. Boom. You lose the weight, you gain the weight, you lose the weight, you gain weight. Usually you gain more than you lost. Okay. Second reason, you go, I'm over the diet thing. I'm going with Sid. Going with Sid on this. He's bald, but he has other very, very admirable attributes. Okay. One of them is I so kind of understand the small step philosophy. So I'm going to take that on. Okay. And he has good taste in scotch and espresso. I mean, that's it, right? Okay. So I'm going to start small stepping it. And in that process of small stepping it over time, I don't know how much, you get to the point where you go, you know, I've been doing this and I actually really like XYZ. I like doing that. And I know that continuing to do that isn't going to get me as fit as I'm going to be. But I'm kind of got to a place of fitness where I'm kind of okay. Like I'm not as thin as I thought maybe I would want to be. But now that I know that I don't want to be that thin, and I'm okay with how I look and I feel really good. And you're honest and you put everything out on the table. Like I've said before, you put everything out on the table eventually over time. Okay, not today, because there's heavy stuff that comes up. But you eventually get to the point through the small step process where you put everything on the table. And then you can make a choice about your life, just like I did, by the way, about a six-pack stomach. I always thought I want a six-pack stomach, and I may want one eventually. But a few months ago, I was doing, and I documented in the podcast, I don't even remember what episode, but I thought to myself, do I really, really want to do what it takes to get a six-pack stomach? Do I want to go to the gym every day? Or am I okay with a flat stomach and I feel really good in my body and I'm running because I like running? Do I want to go to the gym and do the weights and do the thing and that thing and then this and that and that? And I know how to do it. I can get you a flat, I can get you a six-pack stomach. I have the knowledge. The question is, how do I want to live my life? Do I want to give up other things in the pursuit of six-pack stomach? Am I making my living from a six-pack stomach? No. Okay? Not even when I was an actor. Okay? I know that's a shocker. To nobody. Okay? All right. But with that said, a glass of water will get you thin, or as thin as you want. Here, I'll put it that way. The glass of water will get you as healthy and as thin as you want. Okay, now, who here has a notebook and you're just like on the edge of your seat like, okay, all right, Sid just said drinking a glass of water is going to get you as thin and healthy as you want to be. Okay, I want to know the magic ingredient in water. I want to know the thing that if it's there's a magic part of water that either I'll drink water or maybe they'll extract that thing and put it in a pill so I don't even have to drink water. I can just take a pill because that's the best thing ever. If I can have a pill for everything I need to do, that is amazing because pills are awesome. I can measure stuff in a pill. I can just swallow it and I don't have to do anything. I don't have to expend any effort. I can feel totally secure knowing exactly how much I get in the pill. Pills are great. Here's how water is going to make you as thin and healthy as you want to be. Because the moment tomorrow morning or today that you pick up a glass of water and you drink it with the intention of being as healthy and happy as you want to be in your life, you are taking control of your life. You are taking a step toward the person that you already are. And that step, in that moment, is teaching you to take care of yourself the way that you deserve to be taken care of. And eventually that glass of water is going to lead to the next step, which is going to be maybe two glasses of water, or maybe a cucumber with your whatever you're eating, and maybe eventually a salad, and maybe your heavy box to light box proportion over time changes, and maybe waking up with a glass of water because you have built that into your life as a habit and a behavior of thinking about your health and happiness leads you to go, yeah, maybe I'll do 5 squats today. Maybe that's the next step because you've always wanted to move your body and you don't. Or maybe you do move your body, but now you're going to move it in a way that you enjoy more, or in a different way that's a little less stressful, or a way that you love even more. You add 10 minutes onto your run, or you go to a gym with friends because it's a social thing and super funny. You take walks and you understand that taking light walks every day is enough to get you as thin and healthy as you want to be. You don't have to actually, I've met people doing 3 times the mileage I'm doing with a gut because they're under stress. They're not supporting their bodies. It is more about how you feed your body and mind than it is about how you move your body. Okay? Sorry. It's what it is. You can go to the gym, beat yourself up for 45 minutes in a spin class. Do not expect to be sustained, healthy, period, unless you are supporting your body in that effort. Okay? Don't ask your body to expend a bunch of energy and not give it the tools to do that. It's not fair on your body. Your body's going to make the best it can. It's going to do the best it can. Sometimes holding on to extra weight around the midsection because it's under stress. Okay? The glass of water you take on is the beginning of the thing that will get you as healthy and thin as you want to be. How far you go is up to you. You may not be as healthy and thin as the person next to you, or you may be more healthy and thin as the other person next to you. Okay? You're sitting with 2 people from here on out. Okay? Everybody's human. How far you go up to you. How far you go, that's, if there's differences in our species and our individual, the individuals in our species, it's that. Everybody's in their process in the same way. But the same foods that feed our bodies the best feed everybody's bodies the best. Sorry, you put enough quality calories in your body, carbohydrates, fat, and protein, enough quality, which means calories that come with stuff that helps your body run well, your body will take what it needs and use what it needs and get rid of what it doesn't. The body knows. Uh-oh. There I did. You see what I did? I crept into the subject of this podcast. Okay? But what I want, before I do that, I want to talk about, again, think positive versus do positive. Because the thing is, you may not be able to imagine yourself thin. You may not be able to imagine yourself healthy, okay? But everybody listening to this podcast right now can do something to that end. That is not something that everybody can do. I mean, I'll put it this way, in a way that actually makes sense so you guys don't go, what did he just did? Not everybody may be able to imagine themselves doing or being the thing that they want to be. You just may not have a history. You may not be able to draw from experience such that you can imagine yourself in that state. Fine. But everybody listening here can do something to that end. That's amazing. If you want to journal because you understand that that creates balance in your life, then while you're listening to this podcast, you can write on a piece of paper, I'm journaling right now. Well, that's stupid. Sid, that's stupid. Really? Because that's exactly what I did to 3 months ago, and now I'm journaling every day for about 5 to 15 to 20 minutes, depending, and worthwhile journaling. And so if you think that's stupid, if you think that is ridiculous, what I just said, then I'm going to ask you just to hang with me, because I'm just going to make that argument that it may seem ridiculous in the first place, in the beginning, like a glass of water making you healthy and happy. That may seem ridiculous. But if you look at it as a part of a process, then it's not ridiculous at all. It's the thing that works. That's the opposite of ridiculous. It's the thing that works. Is it day 12 of a diet? No. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for that. Okay? Everybody listening to this podcast right now can move your body with intention. Okay. You can lift your, you can do a squat. You can lift your legs up. If you can't walk, you're in a wheelchair, you can lift your arms. You can grab a book and lift it up five times. You just moved your body. Everybody can do that. When you do that, you do something positive. That's what everybody can do. Not everybody can think positive, and I don't even think you should try. Don't bother with that. Just go, I can spend energy doing that. You know, I can spend energy thinking, trying to think positive and trying to visualize myself as a thin person, or I can kind of just take on a step. I'll use that energy to take on a step. Might seem so stupid and trivial, dumb, right? On a piece of paper, draw a picture on a piece of paper with intention. Just take a moment and draw something creative. Play, sit down and play at a piano, even though you don't know how to play piano. Go down and finger the keys. Just listen to sounds. Be there by yourself for a moment. Well, that's stupid, Sid. How can playing piano make me lose weight? The two are completely unrelated. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I don't think they are because it leads to a quality of life improvement over time, which makes you think about your life more, which makes you value your experience of life more, which makes you, down the line, however long it takes you, a healthier and happier person. The healthier person you are, the healthier your body is. Whoa, how did I A to Z that? That's what this podcast is dedicated to. Okay? It's my goal is for every time you go, well, that's just stupid, that eventually you go, yeah, okay, that kind of makes sense. That's, well, I'll give it a try. I got nothing to lose. I got nothing to lose. Who can't drink a glass of water? Who can't lift their arms up? Who can't do five squats? Okay? If you can't do five squats, do one. There's no failure. Just find out what you can do. Okay? I wanted to tell you that my next step, by the way, my next thing is meditation. I talked about this before. I wanted to kind of do meditation. Now, I have two kinds of meditations, right? So I've got the imminent meditation that I talked about, that I wrote an article about, MindBodyGreen. Okay? And imminent meditation, that's like exercising. But I also, I don't think that sitting for a moment and breathing is a bad thing at all. And so I kind of want to, like, what about taking a moment like that? Just like journaling. Okay. So I decided I'm going to start with this and I'm going to try to take small steps into that. Okay. So for fun right now, I'm going to meditate while on this podcast. Okay. Because here's the step that I'm going to do. Okay. This is not to be thinner or to be, it's to live happier, to live better, to live better. I want to see what this is like. It may not work for me, but guess what? I'm in charge. I'm steering the ship. So 6 months down the line, if I'm meditating every day and I go, I'll give it up. Okay. I'm going to meditate and I want you to meditate with me. Okay. We're going to meditate together, group meditation, even if you're driving a car. Okay. Here we go. Or on a treadmill, or you on the stair stepper. Turn it down just a little. Just, that's perfect. Okay, good. You're slow. Okay, good. Here we go. On three, I want everybody to take a deep breath and just listen to your breath. That is the meditation that we are all going to do. And maybe you meditate 50 minutes a day, an hour a day. Just humor me, for the love of God. Okay. And quit judging me. Okay. You're so judgmental. You meditate an hour a day and you still make fun of my hairline. It's not cool. Humor me here. Here we go. Ready? On three, take a deep breath and listen to your breath, or listen to my breath. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Okay. You guys are a bunch of hippies. I cannot believe that you just did that with me. That is embarrassing. God, I hope you're not at work. You just grew dreadlocks literally in the 2 seconds that you took that deep breath. That is horrific. Go wash your hair, comb it out, and come back to this podcast. I'll wait. You're not hippies. If you think that wasn't meditation, you've got another thing coming, because it was. Now, you might ask yourself, or you might say to yourself, that's not meditation. That's a deep breath. That's nothing. That's not going to XYZ. That's not going to get me here or get me there or do this for me or do that for you. Okay? It is meditation by definition. It is as healthy eating is as eating a stalk of celery is as healthy eating. Taking a deep breath and listening to your breath, being present in that moment, is as much meditation as doing it for 4 hours a day. It is as much meditation as doing as doing that for 4 hours a day or watching a flame or sitting in front of a Buddha. It is by definition meditation. Now, is it enough meditation to yield a balance in your life given the other things that you do in your life and how maybe unnatural you are? Maybe, maybe not. Don't know. That's a discussion of degrees. But let's get the meditation in the picture. Then we can talk about how much to include in your life to create the right balance to all the other things in your life that work for you. Same thing with eating healthy. Same thing with drinking, you know, hydrating, drinking water. Same thing with moving your body. Doing one squat is as much exercise, is as much the definition of exercise as running a marathon. It is only by degrees the difference. Okay? I know that for some people that just seems ridiculous, and it only seems ridiculous because what we're told exercise has got to be. We're told it has to be 30 minutes at the gym, or you have to maintain aerobic heart rates for over 20 minutes, or whatever, whatever stuff we make up. Doing five squats is by definition exercise, just like going to 45 minutes of whatever spin class is exercise. They're both exercise. They just differ by degrees. What I'm talking about is getting in your life the thing. Exercise, moving your body, eating healthy, meditating, journaling, all these things. You start, you do the thing in the smallest increment possible so that you will do it every day. Then you build on to what works for you. You may never get to an hour of meditation a day. You may never need to. Or you might go, this is really awesome. I want to figure out how to get more of this in my life. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. You all meditated today. That's a fact. You cannot. I told you last week, I love things that you can't argue with me about. You cannot argue with me about that. If you took a deep breath with me and you listened to your breath, you meditated today, you can't dispute that. You cannot dispute that. You will lose in a court of law. I'll be like, they totally meditated, Your Honor. Case in point, precedent, Sid versus Approaching the Natural podcast. Okay. I'm going to finish up by discussing the subject of this podcast, which is what we already know. Now, I'm going to bum you out a little bit, okay, for a moment, but just work with me. Last week, I talked about how my dog was not doing well. The following morning, she passed away. It was very sad. I've had her for 13 and a half years, and my wife and I, have had her for 13 and a half years. Of course, we had her before we even had children. Amazing how much these animals become your family. I mean, they really are in every way, and I wanted to extend a heartfelt, real, for real, debt of gratitude to everybody who wrote me emails and you know, posted on my Instagram and Facebook and everything and Twitter and sent me condolences and it's very just awesome and sweet and, you know, whatever. Anyway, she died the next morning and I dug a grave. It's a little weird for me because I'm kind of a city boy. But I live rural now, and so I dug a grave in my little field and next to my other dog, who died a couple years ago at 15, and put her in the ground. And it was very hard for my children, and you know, I had to have we talked to them in a way that I hope helps them understand this process and what this is of going back to the earth and these kinds of things. But I wanted to read you, this is the last quote, I promise. Okay, I'm not like quoting you to death on this podcast, but I hope not anyway. But I wanted to read this because it relates to this week's subject, okay? And this is by Jim Harrison. The book is called The Road Home. I love this book, by the way. I haven't read the other book, Winter's Tale, my wife did, but this book I read called The Road Home by Jim Harrison. And it's about dogs, but I'll show you how I'm going to bring it home here, okay? Here's the quote. Quote, I reflected again how dog years leap ahead of us, and we are left a little breathless by how much faster their nature speeds them along. If they have any complaints about this, they are exchanged with us in gestures and glances that are informed by benign incomprehension. Their deaths more naturally embrace the eternity before and after their lives. Should they see God, their surprise would be momentary and unreflective. It must be God, they'd say. Then go about their business. And I love that quote. Sorry, for a whole bunch of reasons. But I love there's a knowing in that quote that I wanted to sort of discuss in this week's podcast. And the title of this podcast is What We Already Know. Because I was thinking that in the context of death, which we find sad, but that I may not know this about my dog, but I didn't see profound sadness in her eyes. Of course, I can't read that. It's hard for me to say. But there seems to be a knowing in the life of these animals that is sort of like her telling me, I got this. I got it. And as brilliant as we think we are in the modern world, all the things that we know how to do in the modern world, there are other things that, ironically or not, the very things that help us live better and healthier and happier, we've forgotten. But we still know. I believe we already know deep down how to live better in this world. It's just that the world is designed in a way for us not to be mindful of those things day to day. And in a way, my small step philosophy is how to remove the veils one by one to get through this messaging that somehow we're not smart enough to know these things that we already know, how to eat healthier, how to give birth, how to move our bodies, how to be with our tribes, how to use our minds creatively. That the small step philosophy helps over time remove the veils and dispense of the messaging that we're too dumb to know these things, that we must need pharmaceutical drugs, that we must need, you know, breast milk from a cow for healthy bones, that we must need pills, that we can't survive without these things, that we're not smart enough. I mean, that is the message. We even message that Mother Nature doesn't know. She doesn't know how to provide healthy food for us. You don't want to know why? Because we take lycopene out of a tomato. We take it out of the tomato and we put it in a pill. Because we go, Mother Nature, you're stupid. You made lycopene, but you didn't put it in a pill. You would have been so much smarter if you just put it in a pill. The message is that we're too stupid. And yet we know. We know. I got to tell you, as unsexy as this podcast is, here's one thing good about this podcast. I have a faith in the intelligence and wisdom of every human being. I have more faith than a diet book will ever have in you, because a diet book is telling me you don't know how to figure this out. You don't know how to figure this out. That's what a diet book is telling you. A diet book is telling you don't know how to figure this out. And I'm telling you, you do. I'm telling you, you do. Small steps remove these veils. We are walking around this modern world. We have a fear of death. We have a fear of sickness. We have a fear of disease. But that fear isn't necessarily enough for us to change abruptly. We kind of put that away and go, it's down the line. And we have this fear of the unknown, and we focus on all the things we don't know, and we lose sight of what we do know. We already know how to live. Well, we already know we want to be happy. We know we want to be happy because all the things that we do in the world right now are essentially to make us happy. They're essentially to make us live better. It's just that without thinking attached to it, it doesn't necessarily yield us that. But we want to live better. When we go to Lightbox Foods, it's because our bodies are designed to be attracted to good calorie sources. We're working in line with that. It's just that without thinking, we're going to be attracted to Lightbox Food because they're around and they wouldn't be in nature. In nature, your body doesn't have to make that choice. Your body knows. Just like the gorilla and the chimpanzee and the elephant and the rhinoceros and the lion and the tiger and everything else. They know. We know that. Small steps, easing your way into a life of thinking and quality and contemplation and awareness. Small stepping your way into that life reveals a wisdom in you that is there. And that the modern world in many ways doesn't want you to see. Because the more you get to that wisdom, the less you need to be healthy and happy. And that goes for material needs and also non-material needs. Being needy, emotionally needy, right? Not being self-confident, not having self-esteem. The more that you small step into your life, the more self-confidence you gain, the more self-esteem that you gain, the less needy you become, the healthier you become, the more healthy your body becomes, the less you need supplementation, the less you need packaged foods, the less you need to count things and measure things and buy books that tell you to count things and measure things. The more heavy box you go, the less you need to think about food. The less you need somebody to do it for you, to tell you you're too stupid to do it by yourself. I mean, they don't tell you that, but that's the message, isn't it? We know, we already know how we want to live. We already know how we want to live because most of us every day are trying to get there. We just need a little light bulb to flash on to say, aha. We know enough to make ourselves try to make ourselves feel good every day, but most of those ways are momentary and not long lasting. But there is a built-in wisdom in us of long-term happiness and health. There is a built-in wisdom, and this and easing your way in and thinking about things reveals that wisdom. Reveals that wisdom. Okay? All right, you guys. I'm going to leave you here. But you know where I'm going to be next week. All right? I promise I will try to get back on track. And kind of I'll probably post one sooner than later. So keep an eye out for it, okay? As always, if you like what you hear, throw me an iTunes review. I saw a couple more come through. It really does help. I'm just asking for 20 seconds of your time to throw a review up on iTunes if you like this, okay? Really appreciate it. In the meantime, you guys be well, and I appreciate you listening, and I love the emails. It really keeps me, it's like the fuel that keeps me going on this thing. All right? All right, you guys, I wish you all the best. See you next week. Maybe it was the sound of the bells, or the wilds much bigger than us. I saw you watch the ground like it was talking. Stained glass, fake light on your face. I watched the tears never leave your could be my winter.
might be the best one.